So we're holding on Chavav Amud Aleph. I think this will be the last day, Linada, that we'll spend on this particular sugya of the Shomrei Ginos and Pardesim. And then tomorrow and the rest of the week, we'll be moving on to the case of the Chola and the attendance. Okay, so again, we're on Chavav Amud Aleph. We had left off yesterday seeing the position of Abaye as explained by the Meiri and previously by Rashi and the Ritva. So we wanted to just take a few moments to go over the Ran. The Ran, both in his presentation of Abaye and Rava, and then maybe go back to the Meiri and see how the Meiri presents Rava as well. All right, so do we have a volunteer to read the Ran? I'm sure everyone saw it already in Seder, but someone that maybe wants to just quickly read it for us so we could all be on the same proverbial page. Daniel?
Yeah.
Okay. Yud Beis Amud Aleph in the Daf Beharif. All right. Nice haircut, Zach. Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We'll start with Shomrei Ginos Upardesim. It's about eight lines up in the Dape and the Ran there on the page of the Rif. See it in the narrow lines before the lines become wide. From that last narrow line, eight lines up. Eight lines before the lines become wide.
In the
run, right. Whenever you're ready. Shomrei Ginos Upardesim. Line right above that. Shomrei Ginos Upardesim. Ein Zazim Misham. What does that mean, Ein Zazim Misham? What does it mean? Just the words. Ein zazim misham. No idea? Must have been stuck on that for a long time.
Yeah.
Ein zazim misham. Someone? They don't move from there. Ein zazim misham. They don't move from there. Meaning they're there for a long period of time. When they're on duty, they're there. There's no night shift. There's no day shift. You're there. You're on someone else's property, or maybe you're on your own field. As we'll see, the Meiri explains, could even be your own field. But you're there. You're not going up and back. You're not going to another place to sleep. You're there. Okay? Go ahead.
Amar Abaye came to Duru,
so if you recall, the Gemara mentions a machlokas. The machlokas as to why the Shomrei Ginos and Pardesim are potter. Abaye said the reason why they're potter is because of Teshu Kein Tadiru. And Rava had a different reason. Rava said, no, it's because of Pirtza Kor Laganov. So now the Ran is going to explain first the position of Abaye. What's the position of Abaye? Teshu Kein Tadiru. Very nice. What about it? Has Kikaso. Has Kikaso Torah. The Torah required of him. Torah required. Right? We had this Lashon not long ago, similar Lashon, the Gemara on Shabbos. Kavsa Zakakla. Right? You're bound to it. It's Kavsa and Zakakla. If the Nair goes out, are you bound to it or you're not bound to it? I.e., must you relight it or do you not have to relight it? Over here, the Ran saying, Heski Kaso Torah, the Torah specifically required him to do something. What is it the Torah required him to do? Keep reading, don't guess. Who are we talking about? No, not yet. Now we're just talking about everybody. When you tell me Teshu King Teduru requires of a person to do a certain thing, we're talking about everybody. We're talking about anybody to whom the mitzvah of sukkah would otherwise apply. All right, not women. But anyone that the sukkah is going to be significant for someone who's required to do the mitzvah, there's a concept of teishu kein tadiru. So what did the Torah require? What did the Torah require? I'm sorry? Okay. Just like a person lives in his home all year round, in that same way, has kikaso Torah, lador basuka, im mitasa, with his bed, the clay tashmisho. And who is this most similar to so far? Rashi. This is essentially Rashi, almost similar lashon to Rashi. But what's the problem? Also ein yochel, right? What's the problem? Keep reading. Lahavion. Mimnei HaTorech. Rashi said the same thing. Basically, that technically this person should sit in a sukkah. Why? Because he's charged with this principle of Teishu Kein Tadiru. But there's a problem. The problem is that we can't obligate him to bring all his stuff out to the sukkah because it's a big tercha. So since that's the case, since it's a big tircha to do, it would be unreasonable to ask that of him. And therefore, he can't properly fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Why? Because the mitzvah of sukkah requires that he sit in the sukkah the same way he sits in his house. And in order to do that, he has to bring his bed, he has to bring his sheets, he has to bring his mattress, he has to bring his clay tashmisho, his personal effects, as Adam put it. Right? He has certain things that he has to bring out with him. Specific things, apparently, according to Rashi. And if you can't get those things, then it's not Teishu Kein Tadiru, and you're Potter. That is, as I said, that's Rashi's position, and that's the Ran's explanation of Abaye as well. But look what he says about Rava. Again, this is something that really we spent time with yesterday and the day before. What does he say about Rava? What is he saying? What does that mean? Leka lemeftere. Leka. Cannot. You cannot potter him. Leka lemeftere. There's no basis for pottering him. Leka lemeftere. There's no basis for making him potter. For what reason? Leka lemeftere.
Mishum
high taima. What's high taima? First of all, what do the words mean?
For this reason.
For this reason, on this basis, you can't potter him. Why not? I'm sorry? Mm-hmm. Stop. Tekein Taduruhu. What's the Ran doing? The Ran is now sort of reading into the facts here, so to speak, that Rava is specifically addressing the Teishu Kein Tadiru issue. And the Gemara doesn't make that clear. Pesach raised this point earlier, and I think it's an important point. A lot of times when you see a machlokas in the Gemara, we're sort of conditioned just to say over the machlokas, okay, this one holds this and this one holds that. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? What happened after the first Ma'an Damar set his position? You just came up with your own idea? No. Rava really had to take into account what Abaye said. This important point, when you're learning, right, in terms of the method of learning, you got to identify very often what's the basis for machlokas. What happened after the first Ma'an Damar stated his position? You didn't just have someone come in with a random position. Oh, you say that? That's nice. I say this. No, that we assume that position was already taken into account by the second Ma'an Damar and rejected. When you have a pasuk, the Gemara says, okay, this is machlokas. This one learns from this pasuk and this one learns from the other pasuk. What happened? What happened after the first Ma'an Damar quoted his pasuk? second sheet according to his pasuk. He didn't know about that first pasuk? No, there's a specific reason why the first mandamar studied this pasuk and the second mandamar quoted a different pasuk. They're arguing about something. Right? It's our job to try to understand what is they're arguing about. Over here too, Abai says, Teshu King Taduru. Rav says, no, it's not because of that. It's because of Pirtzei Kor L'Ganav. Well, what do you mean? What about Teshu King Taduru? Why is that not a good reason? Okay, so what would one answer be? There's no such thing as Teshu King Taduru. That could be a reason, but we know that's not true. That's a basic premise that the Gemara has. It's a given. No one less mandapolig on that. That there's no idea of Teshu King Taduru. That's hard to say. Okay, so we dismiss that possibility. What's the next possibility? No, that even the Bar Plukta, in this case, Rava acknowledges there is a concept known as Teshu King Taduru, but what? But argues on its application. They argue on how to apply it. Now read the Ran. He says, you can't pot to him for this reason. What reason? What reason? Teshu Kein Taduru. Why not? Because Kim Chakol Hashanah Hudar Ba'osan Habatim Shebeginos Uba'osan Kalim. Stop. The next thing already is his reason. What's the Ran saying? The Ran is speaking here on behalf of Rava. And what's he saying? Yonan, do you know where you are?
We're on Ravini Yishuv, right?
Yeah, so you're looking, yeah?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Yud Beis Amud Aleph and the Daf Erev. It's a normal fam, right? Rav is saying, according to the Ran, that no, there's no chisaron of Teshu King Taduru here. It's not deficient in Teshu King Taduru. You're not going to tell me he's putter because for him to be in this sukkah without his bed and his sheet and his mattress that he has back home, that he's going to be lacking, right? Why? Because, look, the guy's doing what? What's he doing the rest of the year here, or for however many months he's on the job? He's subsisting with what? With what stuff? Whatever he's got, whatever it is. What type of stuff? We don't know, temporary or otherwise. It's apparently enough for him to live, right? So since he's dar ba'osan habatim shebeginos, according to the Ran, there was some type of protective structure there, lean-to or something that was there normally, a hut. I don't know, adobe, some type of structure that he's living in that's protecting him while he's in this field. And in that structure, that ad hoc structure, it's not his home.
He said adobe?
Yeah.
Oh,
is that the way it's pronounced? I don't know.
Adobe. Adobe.
Yeah, that's what
adobe.
I said.
No, there's no E in there. I mean, there's a letter E, but it's adobe, isn't it?
No, I think it's pronounced adobe. Adobe. And adobe.
Adobe.
But it's been a while since I've taken early civilizations. I could be wrong. Zach, can you help us out?
So, dictionary.com.
Adobe, right?
Yeah.
I said, can you help us?
Yeah.
Don't they have some Indian reservations over there near you? Yeah, so what do they live in? Okay.
But yeah, Adobe Creek is a
Adobe Acrobat. So what do they say? What's the Ran saying for Rava? He's saying, listen, this guy lives in these structures, he's got these kale, and this is essentially what Pesach was advocating for yesterday. Right? He has these things. This is what he's used to all year round when he's not at home. Why all of a sudden come Sukkot time you're demanding more? Right? So therefore, Rava has his own reason why he put there. And he says it's for a different reason. What's the reason? Practical reason, Pirtzei Kor L'Ganav. So what's the machlokas between Abaye and Rava? As seen through the eyes of the Ran. What do you say? Yes. The Ritz, that was, I think that was the Ritva that you're thinking of.
Oh, is the Ritva? Oh, okay.
I think so.
So maybe I'll see how that could be applicable here too, because that's not, because where he's staying wouldn't really be considered like a dwelling place in the sense that it would obligate you.
Right, this is a different cheetah, you're right. The Ran is not going to agree with the Ritva. The Ran's mahalach is not the Ritva's mahalach. So let's put the Ritva aside. We're just dealing with the Ran now. Just staying within the world of the Ran, how is the Ran explaining the Machlokas?
No, but I mean, I don't think, wouldn't he say kind of similarly, because like when the guy's staying in the field, like the obligation to sit in the sukkah, because he's not, when he's in the field, that's not like his permanent.
Who are you talking about, Rava or Abaye?
Rava.
So what? Rava, but what? Yeah. What does Rava say? Rava say he based on Teshu King Tadur, he would be chayev, right? According to the Ran, Rava would say if Teshu King Tadur is your only concern, you would be chayev to sit in a sukkah, because that's not violated over here. Abaye?
Yeah, Abaye says that for practical reasons that it's just because he has a job to protect the fruits, because theoretically, like if he had just a pile lying in front of him, like he said, then maybe he could have a sukkah, but
only according to Rava. Only according to Rava. Remember, the Gemara, when the Gemara raises that nafkamina, that's only going to be according to Rava. Because Rava's reason is the reason of Pirtzakar Laganov. But if you hold it, that's a chisaron here in Teshu King Taduru, it doesn't matter if the fruit is right in front of you or not, it's still going to be lacking in Teshu King Taduru. So let's just take it slow. Let's just take it slow. What are they arguing over? Before Rava has to introduce his new reason, he's taking on Abaye on what issue?
Living in like in your house.
Yeah, on how to understand Teshu King Taduru. Right? Aren't they arguing over that? Abaye's saying there's a problem here of Teshu King Taduru, and Rava's saying, according to the Ran, no, you can't say that because this is Kain Taduru. Kain Taduruhu. That's the Ran's Lashon. Kain Taduruhu. You can't, right? Lekala Meftarei. Lekla mefter mishum hay taima. Why the kain taduru? This is kain taduru. So you see, right? It's open in the Ran that the way, at least according to the Ran, that's the way that's what they're arguing over. Is this kain taduru or is it not kain taduru? Well, if you ask Rava, is this kain taduru? Yes, of course it's kain taduru. Why? Because what do I require for kain taduru? Show me how you're normally willing to live. And whatever you would do, take those things and put them in your sukkah. What is Abaye saying? No. Yeah, you have to look to what? You have to look to what? Not what you do here in the field. Not to this guy's ad hoc residence and those kalim, those temporary kalim. Rather what? His house, wherever his classic residence is. All his stuff. You know, we said last week, he doesn't bring his special sheets out to the field. He'll bring a sleeping bag, but he's not going to bring his Superman sheets out to the field. That's in his house. So what's the machlokes?
Tishkin doesn't go by we are at the present moment.
According to?
According to Rav. Abayim holds it goes, no, according to Abayim.
Right. It's funny, I'll tell you why it's complicated this tomorrow, because usually it's always Rav and Abayim.
Yeah.
Over here it's Abayim and then Rav. So we're always used to thinking Rav and then Abayim. But over here it's the reverse. So, yes. Abayim is the first
sheet. By the way, the person normally does normally. So if this is his job during the whatever time period, so he's used to it. So that is to do it for him.
That's Rav.
No. In the field.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Rava, sorry.
It's Rava. Right.
Okay, I'm making it.
I told you, that's confusing. Yeah. And that's Rava, okay.
Abaye holds, it goes by where the permanent dwelling is, whether on a park level you're there or not, it goes by the house. You're supposed to take yourself from your permanent house and go into a temporary house, so...
Right, I would say, I think you're saying good. I would say a little bit differently.
So everybody knows.
Because, yeah, I'm sorry.
His point is saying that he's not even in a permanent house at the moment to have a temporary house.
That was the Ritva. The Ritva gave that approach. I don't think that's what the Ron is saying here. Yeah. I think, let's just look at the Lashon, okay? Let's just, Zach, give me one second, okay?
The person's not used.
But look at the Lashon. Again, and this is similar to Rashi. What did Rashi and what are the Ran saying now? What are Rashi and the Ran saying for Abaye? What's the problem? What? Yes, because what? Because you need certain specific things. You need certain specific items. You need your bed. You need the Ran doesn't mention your mattress, but you need your bed, according to Rashi, you need your mattress. And according to both, you need what? You need your kli tashmisho, whatever's included in that category of personal effects. So what does that sound like? Specific items, right? You tell me it's an objective standard. There's an objective standard. Teshu came to diru. Teshu came to diru means you have to bring X, Y, and Z items into the sukkah. That's teshu came to diru. If you can't do that, then you're not really going to be living in the sukkah, so you pot there. Yes? Well, what's Abaye saying? I'm sorry, what's Rava saying? No, it's not necessarily objective standard. There are specific, you know, very specific items that must be brought out to the sukkah. It's objective. If this is the way you live, then replicate that living in the sukkah. You live in a sleeping bag now in a tin cup? Bring the tin cup and the sleeping bag into the sukkah, and that's it. That's your teshu came to do. How do I know that that's the way a person can live? Well, look. You're in the field 6 months, 2 months, whatever it is. Look, you're doing it. You're living in, and that's what he says. You're dar shekol hashana hu dar ba'osan habatim shebeginos. All of a sudden, you're going to look at the sukkahs and tell me, no, now you have to have the gold standard for living. That's apparently what Abaye is saying. There's an objective standard of living that needs to be emulated in the sukkah. You bring your bed, you bring your mattress, you bring your sheets, you bring your kli tashmisho. That's teshu kein tadiru. Not so according to Rava. Rava's saying, look, this is what the guy's willing to deal with.
That's just the other
one. You know, it's like a guy comes home from camp and he, you know, tells his parents he needs certain things now. He comes make certain requests. And the parents say, what do you mean? For 2 months, you were fine. You lived in a bunk without air conditioning, without carpeting, without, you know, whatever, put in all your favorite creature comforts that you want. And they say, look, you're willing to do it. Obviously, you can do it. That's what Abaye is saying. I mean, that's what Rav is saying. You could do it. You could do it. You're living like that. So now, while you're here, emulate this type of living in the sukkah. Teshu kein tadiru. Abaye is saying, no, that's not, we don't look at that subjective standard. There's an objective standard. What is dira? There's a gold standard. Bed, mattress, sheets, Kli Tashmisho, that's what you have to have. And if you can't have that, that's it. No sukkah. Yeah, question, Zach? Comment?
So is it, I mean, because at first I thought that, when I first heard you say this over, I thought it was that, because we were wondering last week, does that mean, like, if you normally sleep in, like, with, like, Superman blanket? was, you know, like that would seem to be kind of significant, because it seems to be specifically like your
right.
Yeah, so, but now after doing it, I'm kind of thinking that maybe it's because like it's just that it can't be like a sleeping bag. It just has to be like.
Right, I don't know if you have to go that far to say it has to be his specific ones that he has a personal attachment to, as much as these items. You have to have these items. You have to have a bed. Although, again, you know, everyone's using the lashon his kli tashmisho, kli, you know, mitaso. So what's that? Yeah, but he's saying, does it have to be the one that you know, like if it's furnished already. If it's furnished with a bed and with a mattress and with sheets and kli tashmisho, whatever that would be, is that lacking at all? I think not. I think that would be sufficient. I mean, that's just a feeling I have. But if someone wanted to argue the other position, that he really needs to have his own things, I certainly would say so. It fits into the lashon, and you know, it can make an argument like that. It's just, I think that's a much higher standard. That's a much higher demand to say that. You know what I mean? This guy's on Skype one day. He's making up for lost time. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding around. What do you want to say?
Yeah, so it's really just to like to contrast like the lower standard of living. Like
right.
Like sleeping bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sam, you want to say something?
So where does the fear
factor? Oh, so now that's that. I'm just giving you a hard time. I'm just joking. I'm just joking with you. So now, since this is what you really require, right? Now, since it's a tircha for you to have those things, now we're going to say you can't. It's not reasonable. Ain't a yachol. It's not reasonable to ask a guy to go get all that stuff and put it in the sukkah. And since he can't do that, it's in far distance. Very far distance.
Is that like based on the situation, or it's like it's tircha?
No, I think there would be, obviously it's a sliding scale. If the guy lives across the street, maybe it might not be a tircha. I don't know. I can't prove that to you. But ain a yachol sounds like it's just very inconvenient. It's very inconvenient.
It's not practical.
It's not practical. But let's say the guy lives, let's say it's his own property and he lives right there and he's watching the field. I don't know. Is that in a yachol? Is that a tircha? I don't know. I can't say. But I hear the question. In other words, at what point do you say it's not a tircha? I mean, that's what we demand of a person normally, right? That's what we tell a guy normally. You live here, please bring any stuff out to the sukkah, and that's the way you live. So obviously, it's something between the normal situation where the guy's sukkah is right outside his front door or on his own property, and a case where a guy lives a mile away. There might be cases in the middle where you have to say, okay, maybe it's not such a tircha. You live next door. You live down the block. It's a big deal. You came over last week when, I don't know, we were stargazing. It wasn't a big tircha. But now we're having a cookout. That wasn't a big deal. You brought your sleeping bag. You brought the tent. But now, because it's a mitzvah, it's more of a tircha. So I'm saying, I think you're right. I think you got to look at it as, when does it become a tircha? When's it not a tircha? But I think the Ran, more so than the other Shitos, really points out that they're arguing over the Teshu Kain Taduru. Right? Is this clear? Alright. Yona?
Just a quick question. So, Rav is saying that if you normally live, say, extremely frugally, then that's proof that you can live okay on that.
Right. So you don't need to emulate the highest standard of living when I tell you go out in the sukkah and be ke'ein taduru. This is the way you dar. Look at the way you're living. If that's the way you live, then that's it.
So according to Rav, a homeless guy.
See, I don't know. That's I don't want to conflate the Shita of the Ran with the Ritva. He's not saying you don't have any residence here.
Because
he's saying you are dar. He says you're dar knows batim shebeginos. But osan habatim shebeginos. The Ritva, we wanted to say, really might be a position which would hold. Without a residence of sorts, you're going to be pater.
Okay, so how about Rava would say if a guy lives in an apartment and has a sleeping bag but does not have any kalim, he would be...
No, maybe all he has to bring out is a sleeping bag then. I don't, you know,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but whereas Abaya would say, the guy needs at least one kelim, whatever that means.
That's a good question. You mean the guy normally lives that way? I mean, what would the response be now going back the other way? What would Abaye say about this guy who? It sounds like the way that Ron's learning it that yeah, he's going to have to bring out some kind of bed, some kind of mattress, and some kind of sheet. Yeah.
And he wouldn't have to worry.
I mean, even though he doesn't normally live that way, you're saying.
No, Rava, right?
Oh, Rava, he has to bring out whatever he has.
Yeah.
Whatever he uses, whatever he's accustomed to using, that's the standard that he has to replicate in the sukkah. But Rava sounds like, Baye sounds like he's demanding a little bit more.
Yeah. In other words, if there were the case where the guy has a place of residence but does not have any kelim, whatever kelim.
I mean, according to Abaye.
Yeah, then Abaye would say, he can't go out.
I don't know. Yeah, it sounds like.
Would say he should go out.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
See, I don't know. I don't want to take it past the case of the Gan and the Pardes, because we don't know what Rava would say, Abaye would say in that case. Because this guy's a Shomer who has a house with those things in there.
Yeah.
So I don't know what would he say about someone who didn't have those things Bechlal. It's hard to know. I don't want to assume more than really we're entitled to assume.
So then what's the Nachmina? What's the practice?
Between the two of them?
Yeah.
Oh, very simple. The case that the Gemara gives. What about a case where the only problem is one of Shmira? Rava holds that there's no lacking here in Teshu Kein Tediru. This is Teshu Kein Tediru for him. Oh, so if it's Teshu Kein Tediru, then the only reason to potter him is Pirtza Korlaganov. Pirtza Korlaganov means what? Pirtza Korlaganov?
It's making a breach for the thief.
Right. You're causing a situation where people are going to now come and steal. You're inviting them to come and steal. So let's say I remove that concern. Then according to Rava, you're going to be chayiv. According to Abaye, who holds that there's a deficiency in Teshu Kein Tediru, you're going to continue to be potter.
Oh wait, why is there a deficiency again? The guy is living in the sukkah.
In Teshu Kein Tediru?
He has his kelim outside. He has
no, according to Abaye, you can't bring your stuff to Big Tircha for you to bring your bed and your mattress and your sheet. So therefore, you won't have those items. You won't have those classic household items.
Bed, you'll have a
that's right. That's not good enough. According to Abaye, that's not good enough.
But for Rava, that's fine.
Rava, that's fine. So according to Rava, once you now know that there's no Teshu Kein Tediru problem, and the only problem is the security problem, if you remove the security problem, you're back to being chayiv. Rava.
So how does he fit that in with Teshu Kein Tediru?
No, he doesn't. He's arguing. He says this is Teshu Kein Tediru.
He's saying it is, but...
But there's a different patur. There's a different exemption for the Shomer. It's not Teshu Kein Tediru. He is... If it was just Teshu Kein Tediru, he's chayev. Now he's potter for a different reason. It's nothing to do with Teshu Kein Tediru.
Okay, so that didn't exist, then he would...
That's right. So if you fix the security problem, for example, where you're charged with watching a specific pile of fruit that's right outside your front door, you could put your sukkah, put it right opposite the fruit, watch the fruit, sit in your sukkah, and Shammah Yisrael. You'll be Mekar in the Mitzvah, you'll do your job, and that's it. Now there's an underlying question here, which I really can't answer at the moment. And that is what kind of patur is this whole business? Shomer Gino Supardesim. I mean, even according to Abaye, who says you're allowed to be out there? Or according to Rava, why are you allowed to take this job? Don't take this job during Sukkot. I mean, what's the basis for allowing a guy to be here and tell him that you don't have to keep the mitzvah sukkah because you're watching someone's field or you're watching someone's fruit? See that? What do you mean?
Like, I mean, you could say hire a non-Jew, but like, what if that's not, but you can't do that, but if you live in only. So I mean, it's something that has to be.
It has to be done? Do I have to do it? Right.
I mean, it seems, because there's a real threat that the fruits are going to be stolen, it seems like, so, and that's
Well, request. You're saying it's impossible. You're saying there's no other way. There's no other way. Someone has to see. I think yesterday I may have misread one line in the Meiri. I think the Meiri is sort of addressing this concern, but doesn't really explain still what the patur is. Let me read the language of the Meiri. If you have the Meiri handy, please certainly follow along. But the Meiri says like this: This is Shomri Ha'ir Bayom, Peturim and Asuka Bayom, V'Chayovim Balayla. Shomri Ha'ir Balayla, Peturim Balayla, Chayovim Bayom. Again, this is if you watch the city, if you're charged with watching the city, then if you watch the city by day, you put it by day. If you watch the city at night, you put it at night. If you watch day and night, you chayav day and night. You put it day and night. There's no mitzvah. There's no halachic obligation to do this. There's no mitzvah. So it's not that now you're osik in a mitzvah and you putter, or because the same Torah that tells you sit in the sukkah tells you watch the city. The Me'imi is addressing this. There's some obligation. There's some tzad hechrech. There's some requirement. What's the requirement? It's governmental. The Malchus says you have to, maybe they have like a OD. You know, there's a rotation. Everyone knows about the OD? Spark Adventure Camp didn't have that? Yeah.
COD,
not Spark. All right, so at night, in most camps, they have a counselor. They have a counselor that's charged with, or more than one counselor, that's charged with staying up until the certain time, and making sure the kids aren't running wild after they're supposed to be in where they're supposed to be. Right? So it's done on a rotational basis. Maybe get it once a month. So let's say you have a situation where they say every person in the community has to volunteer. What you have here, they have the neighborhood watch. I don't know if they still have that, but they used to have that. Right? Neighborhood watch, if you'll volunteer, drive around the car with the spotlights and not much else. But it's a presence. You're doing something that's considered they still have that? The patrol? No, here, in Frankfurt. So Shomrei Ginos HaKadeshim, it's not an obligation, Shomrei Ha'ir rather, it's not an obligation, not a mitzvah, but it's somewhat of an obligation. So they require it of you. Okay? Shomrei Ginos HaKadeshim, Shein Zozim Misham Bayom V'Layla, Peturim Bayom V'Layla. Afil HaYushalahem. Now he says, even if it's your own produce. Yesterday I misread this lesson, I think. Even if it's, Meiri says, even if it's your own produce, and now you have to move out into your field, instead of being in your barn and your farm and your estate on high and enjoying the comfort of your home and hiring someone else, you say, you know what? I'm going to go do it myself. I'm going to go out into my field and watch my own stuff. I don't have an obligation to hire someone else. So I'm going to get my own... I'm going to do my own watching. She'en kan lo mitzvah. Now there's no mitzvah. V'lo hechrech. No one's making me do it. Why am I doing it? Because I deem it appropriate. There's no hechrech in the sense that it's being imposed on me. When I live in a city and they say everyone who lives in the city has to pitch in. One day a month you have to go and watch the city gates. Here, it's not a mitzvah and it's not hechrech. It's a self-imposed obligation. Still, says the Meiri, nonetheless, I'm still potter. Why should I be potter? Put your sukkah out in the field. Since there's no mitzvah and there's no hechrech, just put your sukkah out in the field. Make your residence over there. Yasu sukkah l'sham. So he says, to that end, we have the responses of the Gemara. V'tireit abaye teshu kein tadiru. Once I'm out in my own, even if it's my own field, I'm out in my own field, I'm watching my orchard, I'm watching my produce, I'm kovei my dira, lo lahaniach peiros of lamikra. Why am I doing that? Why am I moving out into the field? For what purpose? To guard my stuff, to make sure my fruit doesn't go lamikra, doesn't go to chance. Im yasa sukkah l'sham, afum tsar. Now, if I will put my sukkah there, what must I do in order to have a sukkah? I gotta bring all my stuff out of my house. Klei tashmisho mitaso shatora omateshu king tediru. Kolom shatzorach lavi mitaso besukaso klei tashmisho ki ilhu beveso. Just like I would if I was in my house. Vim yasakin And that's why he, I think, that's why the Meiri has to come up with this reason instead of giving the Tircha reason. Why didn't you give the same reason as the Ran and the Rashi? Right? Because if you're talking about me, and it's my house, and I'm 10 feet from my front door, or more,
there is no Tircha.
There's no Tircha. But he has this other reason about the plan B, the escape route. You need an escape route. If you tell me, go live in my field, apparently even where there's no Tircha, I still have a basis for getting out. What reason? The greater Tircha, the Tircha Yisera. I have no place to bring my stuff. Again, even when my house is apparently not, you know, not so far in the distance, if I have no mukam to bring my stuff, and it can't mean what we're normally used to, the guy's right outside his front door, run inside. But somehow, it's your own stuff, it's not a Tircha Yisera to get there, but it's a Tircha Yisera to get out, you're potter. V'harehu k'morshim mikar, mitoras ha-Tircha Yisera shebefonav. Shein lo mukam l'sham l'fnosam. Again, it has to be practically shein lo mukam. So he addressed the case even where it's your own property. How does the Meiri explain Rava? So he says, Rava tirtzim mishem tirtzim karlagan of kolom ha-me'achal shidi rosa k'lulasham lo hizkikuhu leishei besukha sheyehinosim ba-mokam la'abed ha-shalom. They didn't obligate me to go sit now in a sukkah in my own field and do what? And lose my produce. It's the harvest time. I'm worried about people coming in and taking my stuff. So in order to be mechayev me to sit in the sukkah, what would they say you have to do? Well, you have to run the risk of losing your stuff. That they didn't do. Pirtzei kol haganav. Harei im osa sham sukkah, haganav makirim, shehu besocha. They see, hey, that guy's in a sukkah. Let's come around back, and we'll steal his fruit. Now the Meiri, I don't know how many guys got a chance to see this. Listen to this Meiri. It's unbelievable what he says. This is, again, the Meiri writing about what went on in his time. Right? We rule like Rava, apparently. We assume that Rava's reason is the reason why the Shomer is Potter. So he says, Mikan, from this approach of Rava,
what is his time?
The Middle Ages. Samchu b'ktsas mekomos, shekol sheyesh bi shivasam besukah, chshash ganovim alistim. In his time, apparently, people were concerned about thieves. They're concerned about ganovim alistim, bandits or thieves. What do they do? Osin sukkah b'chotzer beis haknesses. They began to build sukkahs in the chotzer of the beis haknesses. And what would they do? Umevarchin berkas leishei b'sukkah l'sham, v'holchim b'batehem lisham v'lechol b'lo sukkah. You had people that would just come to the shul sukkah, make a bracha, apparently eat something, and then never go home. And they would eat and sleep in their own home, not in the sukkah. Why? Because there was a fear, apparently, of sitting out in the sukkah and being happened upon or beset upon by Ganovim and Listim. It's pretty unbelievable. Va'af Anu, says Ritva, now the Meiri is talking about himself apparently. Anu Nogan Lahokel, Shalitin Mito Shalano Basukha Velishko Sham Ne Sakana Satsina, Shihimitsuya Balelos bin Mukhuzas Halala. Where the Meiri lived, he said it's very cold, and there's a fear of the cold adversely affecting people. Therefore, they were makel not to sleep in the sukkah. In places where it's extremely cold, there's a pitur. V'chein shehein alulim b'gishomim, same situation or place where it's very subject to rain. Harbe be'osin zman, harei anu kemorshim me'ikara. He's going back to Rava as understood by himself, right? If you're worried about some adverse condition that's not yet present, but could come down the line. He's going back to that svar that he said before. It's like Mursha Mi'ikara. It's like Hetiru Tchilasa Mishum Sofon. Right? You allowed me now at the outset to do something which might not be ideal because of something that might happen later. Va'af Ananogin Lahakas Lolitein Mito Shonam Basukka. Velishkav Sham. Made a Sakana Satsina. Elosheb Avosinu. Now he says, Avoseinu v'Avoseinu, Hayunogim b'Leilos Rishonim b'Yom Rishonim, Sheishenim Sham Kima v'Bigdehen, Derech Chibuv Mitzvah. He says our forefathers, they would sleep out in the sukkah, and our Rebbeim would sleep out in the sukkah on the first nights, a little bit with their clothes. Derech Chibuv Mitzvah. They want to show love for the mitzvah, maybe with a coat. They would sleep all bundled up, it was to sleep out there a little bit just to show their love for the mitzvah. It sounds almost like what some chassidim do today. You know, they sit out in the rain. Even when it's raining, the first night, they'll sit in the sukkah, or even other nights, they'll sit in the sukkah eating when it's raining.
Why?
Chiv of mitzvah. They love the sukkah, they don't want to leave the sukkah.
What?
That's a different, you know, the Lubavitchers. Lubavitchers don't sleep in. Right? V'kama pamim ra'isi ba'avosai b'rabosai. Listen to this. This is the Meiri now talking about his Rebbeim. The Meiri says, I saw my Rebbeim, shalayla rishona af b'gishamim harbe. Even in a hard downpour in the rain, shayu nosnim kova shalevet b'rishayim v'ochlim l'shayim. They would eat out in the rain, they'd put on some kind of a big brimmed hat, they would sit out in the sukkah and eat in the rain, even in a downpour. Again, why? Because of the chibur of the mitzvah.
Is that why it's called the 20-gallon hat?
Yeah, exactly why.
No,
chibur of the mitzvah, a love of the mitzvah. Not because they maintained necessarily that it was halachically required, but because they wanted to... What's that?
Like,
no, chibur, like chaviv. Yes. What's at the end? I mean, they eat when it's raining, but they don't sleep there normally.
No, because
Shmiat Teres, right? Shmiat Teres. Again, he's not to say so.
Saying
that that's a different issue. That's a different issue. But anyway, he ends off in Noshev with Dvei Asugia, but Hushal Tam Rava Shehalacha Kemoso. He says the halacha is really like Rava, that we assume that the problem is Pirtza Korleganov, that it's not lacking in Teishu King Tenduru, right? Like Pesach was convinced all along that that's not a problem. Teishu King Tadur really is satisfied here. The Meiri says, really, we hold like Rava, not like Abaye. Shekol Shein Sham Chashash Geneva Chayiv. As long as there's no other Chashash now, some kind of Sakana or Geneva, you're going to be Chayiv. Umayata Im Hayashomer Keri Shalperos. If you're watching a isolated silo or a specific heap of fruit, Oselo Pesach HaSukkah B'tzida Shalkeri. Situate your sukkah opposite that bundle of fruit, that barrel, that basket, that bushel. And that's it. Hari ain't loch shash lignov mimokam achem. There's no concern that someone's going to come and sneak around because you're watching the entire area that needs to be protected, and therefore you could do both things. Okay, so I guess we'll stop here. This is the sugya of the Shomer Ginos of Pardesim. I think we had a nice insight today in terms of the run, and we explained the machlokas. What is Teishu King to do? Is it an objective standard? Or is it more of a subjective standard? If it's subjective, so Rava said, listen, this guy subsists with less. Let him take that stuff and sit in the sukkah. Abaye seemed to look at it as more of a general standard. This is what must be brought out into the sukkah. And that also stemmed from Rashi's language also, that this is what needs to be brought out. Bed, mattress, sheets, and klei tashmisho. And therefore, we had the machlokas la'aloch. Apparently, passing like Rava, that it's not teishu king tediru deficient. It's a problem of Pirtza Korleganov, and when you could avoid the Pirtza Korleganov, this person's going to be indeed hired to sit and live in the sukkah. Okay, so Blineta, tomorrow we'll be moving on to the next piece about the Chola and Misham Shehen. All right? Zach, you leaving tomorrow?